And we are back on the KYMN Morning Show. We do have a couple of special guests joining us now from Laura Baker Services Association, LBSA. We have the Executive Director, Sandy Gertis. Good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for coming in.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
And you brought in one of your new personnel.
Yes.
Yeah. J.R. Larson is with us. Good morning, J.R. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about you in just a moment or so. We'll get to you. But I want to a couple of things with Sandy. First of all, it's Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. And of course, LBSA offers a wide variety of services for the for people who are developmentally disabled. Start off about the Awareness Month. You know, we get these for a lot of different things. It's awareness this, awareness that. They're all very important, though. It gives you a time to just focus on some of the issues that people within our society are facing right now.
Right. Yes. And I think this is an opportunity to highlight people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their space in the community and encourage people to see them as valued members of community, looking at what do they have to offer to us as a community, thinking about things like they can be valued workers and they can be valued friends and all of those sorts of things. And then what do they need to live the lives that they choose? And so how can we highlight some of the needs that we have as a community and talk about how we do that.
And some of the issues that we have in society right now, especially coming off the back end of COVID, are staffing issues, and it's not just for, well, it's for everyone.
Right.
But it seems like it's especially hit hard in the healthcare community and the need for people who are trained in certain areas, and some people that will get some training in certain areas.
Right, yes.
How's it been for you?
It's been a real challenge, and we reached kind of our low in staffing in the fall of 2020, and we've come up a little bit, but we still are limiting the number of people that we can serve because we don't have enough staff. So one of our asks is if you're somebody who's looking for work or you think you might be interested, is we'd love to have you come join us as a staff member. It's something that we need. We probably need 13 to 14 full-time positions to get back to where we were before.
And are they a variety of positions?
Mostly direct support, but in a variety of situations. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. I know another thing you're probably going to keep your eye on is the state legislature this year, especially when we have a $10 billion budget surplus. Everyone is keeping their eyes on, I think, the legislature this year. But are there certain things, or have you done some lobbying? Are there some bills you're watching? Tell us what's going on governmentally.
Yeah, we are asking for the legislature to fill. So we get funded mostly by Medicaid, and it covers about 60% of our costs. And so we're really asking the legislature to fill that gap and to fund us at 100% of our costs, because we can't charge other people for those kind of things. And so that's one of our asks. That's our main ask is.
And, you know, I've talked to our legislators and everybody. It seems like it's, a no-brainer. Yeah, we need to do this. But actually, getting them together to decide on a package seems to be a little more difficult than it would seem.
I would agree with that. It seems a little challenging, and, mm-hmm. and I would agree that it seems like it should be a no-brainer. But what we have found in the past is that funds for people who are elderly and other sorts of disabilities come through, but often we're left off at the last minute. And so we're really trying to make sure that legislators understand that our folks depend on them to ensure we're fully funded and that we're able to provide the support that we need. We really need a 30% increase in our rates in order to be competitive with wages that are, you know, around us with Target and Quick Trip and all of those kind of things. So, and that brings us from $13 to $17 an hour. 30% sounds really big, but it really is a pretty common wage now is somewhere between $15 and $17 an hour.
Yeah, the competition for people within the job pool is pretty intense
right
now. Are there other issues that you'd like people to be aware of in the operating of Laura Baker Services?
Well, those are really our critical issues right now, our staffing and funding. And then what we're trying to do as we look at how we provide services is, if we're limited in the number of people we can serve in our settings, how can we expand our services to meet needs that are still in the community? And so a few months ago, we talked about our family navigation service, and we were launching that. We're also looking at launching a service called housing stabilization and another one for behavioral support services. And that's really why JR has joined us. He is assisting us with getting those programs off the ground. And they really are designed to support people where they're living now and kind of bridge that gap. So.
All right, let's move things over to JR right now. JR Larson is with us, part of Laura Baker Services Association. What is your, I guess, official title, JR?
Director of Business Development.
All right. Give us a little background on yourself. Where did you come from? How long have you been here? Are you a Northfield native or Minnesota native?
Great question. I actually am a Minnesota native. I grew up in South Minneapolis, somewhere near Lake Nokomis. I'm sure most people are familiar with that area a little bit. But I've lived in Minnesota most of my life, and I came down to the Northfield area in 2006 for a couple reasons. I have two sons. One of them is on the autism spectrum, and the other one is a very athletic young man who enjoyed the sports availabilities at Northfield High School. So we've been here for quite a while now, and I met Sandy fairly early on, and she was helpful in terms of our family and the support we needed for my younger son on the spectrum. And we just got to know everybody here, and we loved it, and the schools were everything they were advertised to be. It was just a great community. But my career has always been in the corporate sector, a lot of travel, business development, sales, traveling all around the country. And I'm one of that, you know, part of the generation that's stepping back and saying, hey, I'm looking for something different in my life. And I talked to Sandy back toward the end of last year, and she said, hey, I might have something for you. And 3 or 4 weeks later, she said, hey, I got a proposal for you. And it was just kind of a dream come true, because I'd never really thought too much about the going into a nonprofit setting. I always kind of had it in the back of my head. But when she described, it's here in Northfield, a community that I've grown to love and care about, it's helping intellectually and developmentally disabled individuals, which I have a son, and I've gone through some of the challenges we're trying to help people with in terms of transitions in life, learning about programs, learning about services. That's what family navigation is all about, is taking a family that is frustrated, maybe doesn't know where to turn. Sure, there's websites, and I don't know if anyone else on here has the experience. You go on a website and it has all the information, but getting to it all and digging through and navigating your way to find it is difficult and frustrating. And you only have so much time when you're raising a family too. So having somebody on your side who, you know, would be with Laura Baker, your own personal navigator, I thought could be a great idea, and decided to say yes to Sandy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you have to learn how to navigate all those things. You know, whenever you're dealing with an agency that is regulated by the government and funded in part by certain agencies within the government, there's going to be a bit of a bureaucracy. And as a parent or a loved one trying to get involved through that, my head is swimming just thinking about how that goes. Have you been able to learn that navigation system and explain it to people yet?
Well, my job is actually not to explain the navigation system. The people I'm dealing with, I'm trying to get the word out. Last week we attended the Minnesota Social Services Association meeting. It's the people that are in connection with the families. They're social service workers, they're case managers. I met with Cheryl Hall, the head of special education for Northfield School District yesterday, talking to other individuals in the community that can get the word out and be a referral source for the program is kind of what I'm doing. We actually have another person, Sam Gershman, who is our lead navigator right now, and he's the one that has to know actually all of the navigation pieces. And I'll be the first to tell you that when it came to my family, my wife did a lot of the heavy lifting when it came to that. And I was on the road. I would, you know, be there for support and to talk through what do we need to do next, how do we do this. But again, that's the challenge, right? And a lot of families are two income to make ends meet now. I don't know what we'd have done if she had a full-time career job rather than staying home, taking care of our son and working part-time here in town. So.
Let's talk about some of the other aspects of your job. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on that part, that networking, getting people okay. involved in family navigation. We're starting to look at how do we promote this new housing stabilization program that we're developing. That's going to be a little more localized. The family navigation service, we believe, you know, through COVID, everyone's learning to do things more remotely. Sandy talked about kind of expanding beyond the Northfield and the Rice County area. So that's what we're doing there. So reaching out statewide, the housing stabilization, and we're still kind of in the formation of the behavioral intervention service that we're going to be launching as well. And the kind of cool thing about it is all of those services are going to be somewhat related and deal with some of the same families and some of the same people we need to be aware that, hey, we've got something here that can really be helpful to families in your community.
Wow, expanding those services, that just seems like such an important and essential and vital detail. I guess it's more than just a detail, but boy, that can you speak to the importance of that, of identifying needs within the community that you serve and trying to fill those needs?
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to figure out ways that we can supplement our own income, and so these are all services that we're hoping will give back to our sort of core programs or our legacy programs, but also speak to the needs. I have for several years met with families on a semi-regular basis and just said, "What are you looking for? What do you need? What do you envision the future to be like, and how can we help you with that?" And these are all things that have come from those conversations with families, where they've said, "This is what we really need to be successful." So,
all right.
It's really important.
And one of the really interesting things we found at these Social Services Association meeting was that we're not just talking young children; we're talking about adults, young adults, and those transitions from now they go from high school. There's a great program, the STEP program for transitions, but after that, how do we take care of our child? And in again, on a personal note, in our case, eventually, you know, we're going to have someone else take care of our son. Right now, he still lives at home with us as an adult, but people need help with all of those transitions. So it's not just young children that are first learning that there's a disability in the family and they're going to have to learn how to adapt to that. It's also people at various stages in life that are going to need those kind of services.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we let you go, I want to talk about a celebration.
Yes.
That you'll be having probably all year long, 125 years of service to the community. Wow, it seems like yesterday we had you in here to talk about the 100th anniversary, but 125, that really says something about the quality of leadership that they've had throughout those 125 years, and yeah, including yourself, Sandy. I know I'll let you blush a little bit at that one, but 125 years, something to be proud of.
It is. And I think that as we have gone through the challenges of the last few years, when we look at how do we keep moving forward, some of that is resting on the fact that our predecessors lived through the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic and through two world wars and managed to maintain. And so I think that we can stand on the shoulders of those who went before us, and it gives us hope that we can figure out the solutions for the future. So we're delighted to be able to celebrate those.
Yeah. And I also want to add that you have benefited from having a board like as qualified and as caring and as passionate, no matter who is on it, for all those years. Your board of directors has always been fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we should know?
Not today, I don't think.
Okay. Is there going to be a 125th party?
We are looking at doing something this summer, so there's more coming on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you're always welcome back here to talk about it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Sandy, JR, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jeff.
That is Sandy Gurdes, the Executive Director of Laura Baker Services Association, along with J.R. Larson, who is the Business Development Director. Did I get that right? All right, J.R., thanks for coming in. We're going to take a break. We've got Rich coming back in a minute or two with a look at local news.